The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm. Ross Briley, Chris Primlott and Stephen Paul will be in the studio. Flat racing from Brighton, two jumps meetings at Utoxeter and Wincanton, and all weather racing in the evening from Kempton Park. Those are the domestic fixtures. There's also some good racing over at Punchestown as well, with three Grade 3s on their card. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to Thursday's racing, he's commentator Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, Mark. Fresh back off a holiday, so rearing to go into what is definitely one of the best weekends of the entire racing year. It's got to be in the top three.
Yeah, it's a fantastic weekend. We've got the flat stuff from Ascot Champions Day, a brilliant day to look forward to. Ascot, and then we've got the jump season starting to warm up as well. We've got the showcase meeting at Cheltenham. We've got the first jumps fixture of the season, that William Hill sponsored card at Kempton Park, where we're going to see the new one take on Rock on Ruby, hopefully, which will be a fantastic start to the season there. But let's start with Ascot, and just a bit of news surrounding that. And the front page story on the Racing Post, as we record this on Wednesday, is that Richard Hughes is pushing for a Champion Stakes bid rather than going to Hong Kong for Sky Lantern. What do you make of that, Gareth?
Yeah, interesting. I think she's got it to do myself. Cirrus de Zegla is fairly prominent, I think, in the market for that race after bouncing right back to form in France last time. And he's actually won his last two. The time before, it was a much softer race than what he won at Longchamp at the ARC meeting. It's an interesting one. It's a bold move. And you know, she is the the top 3 year old filly, and she was really impressive, I thought, last time out, but this is over a quarter of a mile further, and she's up against some real hardened colts in this, and I think I'm one of these subscribers to the theory that a good boy should usually beat a good girl. And I think that might just be the case here. I think she's got a chance. It wouldn't at all surprise me to see her get into the frame. But I think if she's taking on the likes of Cirrus de Zegla, I hear Farm may well be bouncing back and going for this race.
Yeah.
She's definitely going to have a race on her hooves.
Okay. Cirrus de Zegla, the runner-up in the race last year behind Frankel, is the 4-5 favourite to go one better this year. Far is 4-1, Declaration of War 11-2, Mukadram 7s, Hillstar 10s with Ruler of the World and Skylantern in there at 12-1, and Richard Hughes apparently was screaming to run her at Ascot after impressive work on soft ground at home. So
yeah, it's a good each way price, that.
Yeah.
I think for Skylantern 12-1, she is no mug, she's no back number, but and of course she will be getting a little bit of weight from a few of these as well, from all of them, but it's just whether she's good enough to be beating the likes of Cirrus. I mean, he's a funny horse, I think, Cirrus de Zegla, because I think following on from last season, where of course he got beaten by Frankel in this race, I don't think he's been the same horse this season, but he has gradually come back to himself of late. But what we've got to take into consideration is that both of those wins have come on very soft ground.
Yeah.
Not too sure what it's going to be like at Ascot this weekend.
They're expecting rain, so conditions should suit him.
So, it's going to be interesting. If it comes up soft, I think he's definitely the one to beat. Mm. What he showed in Longchamp last time is extremely impressive and quite pleasing as well. I mean, he's a seven-year-old now. He's not getting any younger. He's been around for quite some time. I certainly think he will be the one to beat, particularly, as you say, Mark, if the rain comes. Far, I think, is a fascinating runner. Hasn't run since back in the very early part of the season, where he won the Lockinge, was it not?
Yep.
It's a bold move for Godolphin to bring him back. I mean, he's a five-year-old. He's pitched in at the very highest level, over a little bit further as well here again now, a mile and a quarter, but a trip that he does see out perfectly well. And I think he's a big, big danger. And yeah, very interesting that Sky Lantern goes for this race. I thought it, if they were going to run her at all at this meeting, maybe the QB2 would have been the race that they may have gone. But of course, that isn't now over the same course and distance that Sky Lantern won at the Royal meeting, because she won on the round course, and I think the Kiwi 2 these days is now run on the straight course. So it's an interesting move to step her up to a mile and a quarter, but hey, it worked for Frankel, didn't it, last year? So we'll see what happens.
The QE2, you mentioned that there, that's another interesting race. Dawn Approach, the 2-1 favourite with us at the moment. Olympic Glory, 9-2. Soft Falling Rain, also 9-2. And Tornado still in the betting there at 9-2, so the prices will change, because from what I understand, Tornado won't go to the race. But the Hannon team are quite positive about Olympic Glory, and it'd be interesting to see how Dawn Approach returns as well. His final race before he's retired to stud, so
yeah,
great race to look forward to.
Oh, it certainly is. I was a big Olympic Glory fan last year, particularly when he won at Longchamp. I've been a big fan this year, actually. He's done a bit of his racing over in France, and he was second in a red-hot race, actually ahead of Dawn Approach, an outing or two ago. And I just think with Dawn Approach, I mean, don't get me wrong, when he won the Guineas, I thought he could be a world beater, this horse. I thought he was really, really impressive on that occasion. I backed him heavily for the Derby, which I think he finished 12th of 12, not good. And then of course he came back out the time after, won at Royal Ascot, scraping in against Tornado then got his revenge on him at Goodwood. He's had a pretty long season as Dawn Approach, and although he's been given a little bit of a break by Connection since his last run, I just wonder, this is shaping up to be a very hot race indeed, and I just wonder whether, you know, this, I mean, it's obviously the place to come with a horse like Dawn Approach now, but I'm going to be a layer rather than a backer, I think, on Saturday. And I think Olympic Glory, yeah, is the one which catches my eye for the Hannon and Hughes team. Like I said, he's done very little wrong this year. He's had one blip, but he can be forgiven that. He's run two excellent races in defeat of late, not beaten far on either occasion. And this might just be Olympic Glory's day to shine. So I think on Saturday I'll be with him. And I was very interested to read. I have been abroad over the last week, but I did see something about Top Notch Tonto going for the race as well. I think that's a hugely bold move by Connections, and hopefully he'll run a big race. I mean, he's definitely got a step up on what he's shown so far, but he's clearly a three-year-old who's on the up, and I think it's a great move by Connections to pitch him in at the highest level. He clearly deserves his chance.
Yeah, he's 12-1, and if the ground does come up as soft as it could do, if we are getting as much rain as you'd expect, that will definitely be in his favour as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Leveller on the playing field there.
Yeah, no, good on them.
Yes, good to see. Hopefully he'll run well. The Sprint Stakes is another competitive race, and Jim Gawley's been rather bullish about Jack Dexter's chances. He's currently third favourite at 7-1 behind Marek, who's 11-4, and Vistoria, who's 11-2. Would you give him a chance in this?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a horse who is not wholly reliant on soft ground, but would, I think, definitely prefer it to be with plenty of cut. And I mean, it's a sprint. I mean, these races, you know, they churn out different winners every time you run them. I really do think they're a bit of a lottery. Vistoria down at the bottom, if she runs, I think she's got half a chance. She won, wasn't quite as testing ground at Doncaster as what it's likely to be on Saturday at Ascot, but she did that well. She then finished sixth last time out. She'll have to bounce back from that. Marek comes into the race having won it last year. Wide open contest, probably be one I'll be watching and not betting.
Yeah. And another interesting runner to make their reappearance on Saturday will be Estimate, the Gold Cup winner for the Queen. She's 9-4 favourite for the Long Distance Cup and has been well backed as well, so it'd be nice to see her back on the race course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was a tremendous Ascot Gold Cup winner, wasn't she, back in June, where she just came home ahead of Simenon. I think that horse since has been racing abroad, certainly ran well in Australia, I think, less than a week or so ago. And, you know, she comes into the race as a pretty lightly raced sort for the season. She's only had a couple of starts, has won both of them. Ryan Moore will be back on up. And I think, yeah, on what we know of the stayers, and particularly the stayers in this, she rates the one to beat at the moment.
Okay, plenty to look forward to on the flat then this weekend. I already mentioned that we've got the Cheltenham Showcase meeting and that big race day at Kempton Park as well, William Hill sponsored race day. And if you show your William Hill app on the door at Kempton Park, you're getting for free. So how about that? You can get into a great day of racing for free, and the highlight will undoubtedly be the new one against Rock on Ruby, two champion hurdle prospects going head to head on the first day of the season at Kempton, which is also nice. You're at Perth as well this weekend? You must be
Kelso this weekend. Yeah, doing a little bit of work actually for Cheltenham on Friday. You know, you can buy the little ear pieces. Yes. We get the audio around the paddock. Yeah. I think I'm doing that alongside Rupert Bell on Friday.
Oh,
so quite looking forward to that. And I'll be watching the action from none of this Asker stuff. Cheltenham on Saturday. I'll be at Kelso, so I'll be keeping an eye on the jump season, which is hotting up. And like you say, Mark, it leads into the action at Kempton on Sunday, and there's a very interesting clash potentially there between the new one and Rock on Ruby.
Yeah.
Neither will win the champion hurdle, mind you.
You don't think so?
No. Although the champion hurdle winner, I think, does run on Sunday.
So you're going to Ireland for it, yeah?
Yeah.
Al Connor.
Yeah. I think he runs at NACE, doesn't he? In his comeback. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back. But I quite like the angle they use, you know, run him on the flat a couple of times or once, you know, just to blow away the cobwebs and everything and get them fully prepared for the jump season with a run under the belt. There was a horse that I was following about a month or so ago who... I've been on holiday the last week and I missed him win on Saturday, Boulder Success.
He
ran a couple of times on the all-weather at Kempton, and I think he ran at Leicester, and he made a winning chasing debut at Chepstow last Saturday, so I was a bit gutted to see that result. But now hopefully our Connor bounces back, and Rock and Ruby in the new one as well. Two excellent prospects again for top 2 mile hurdling races as the season goes on. It's a fantastic weekend, something for everybody, top class stuff on the flat. And it's this time of year now where the jumps is really starting to gather ahead of steam. And, you know, if this weekend can't get you going, then you're in the wrong sport.
Yes, Al Connor currently 5-1 joint favourite with Hurricane Fly for the Champion Hill. I know it's very early to talk about it, but while we're on the subject of Al Connor, his owner, Barry Connell, has made a great gesture, a very nice gesture.
I did see this,
All his prize money this year will be donated to the Injured Jockeys Fund.
Yeah, no, that's a you know, wonderful thing to do, and hopefully Al Connor will have
the Jockeys Emergency Fund, it is.
Yeah, hopefully Al Connor will have a lot of success this season, and plenty of money will be flocking its way to charity. But no, a great gesture and fair play.
Yeah, nice to see all these trainers and owners rallying round for the injured jockeys at the moment as well. It's very nice to see indeed. We must move on though. We must move on to Thursday's racing rather. And you're going to look at two at Wincanton, keeping the jumps theme going, and one at Kempton Park as well. So the 3:20 at Wincanton is where we will start. It's a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And where do you want to start here? My brother Sylvester has been in pretty decent nick already this year.
Yeah, he has. Represents the David Pipe Yard, has won around here in the past as well. Likeable sort, often runs his race, has won two of his last four, and again should give a bold show. I saw actually a couple of these runners at Newton Abbott a couple of weeks ago. Multitude of Sins, who's a bit of a nutcase, but he's talented, and Mount Vesuvius, who had her winning run come to a bit of an abrupt end. And I think both of those have got chances, particularly the first one I mentioned, Multitude of Sins, for Colin Tizard. Joe Tizard will be taking the ride on this one. Colin's actually got another runner in the race, Jumps Road, who can be respected, but... I think on the back of what was, I thought, quite an impressive win at Newton Abbott last time out, I referred to him a moment ago, he's a bit quirky, this horse. He didn't look an easy ride, and he didn't jump brilliantly at the end of the race, but he was accelerating all the time, and I thought he did the job in pretty impressive fashion, and it wasn't too bad a contest either. And I think now he's found the winning thread, he might just have learned something a bit from that, and hopefully he'll go on and run well. So I'm actually going to side with Multitude of Sins in this race because I think he's quirky, but I think he's talented as well, and might have just been quite nicely placed by connections here. And also, always, the Optimist comes into the race on the back of a win, carries a penalty after scoring at Ludlow last time out. Always the Optimist, now a 10-year-old. He's not getting any younger. He's the oldest horse in the race, but he's pretty decent on his day, and you know he can mix it over hurdles and fences, so he's another intriguing contender for the Phil Middleton stable. But no, good little race. My brother Sylvester at once respecting, but I'm going to side with Multitude of Sins to continue in winning ways now he's finally found that thread.
Okay, the 3:50 at Wincanton, and this is another Class 3 race. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and Jump City there at the top of the weights ended last campaign with a couple of decent efforts in probably better company than this. Sights lowered slightly for his debut this season. What do you make of Jump City for Paul Nicholls?
Yeah, he's got a good chance. He does have to give weight all around, carrying 11 stone 12. Won't be the easiest thing to do. There's a few fair sorts in against him here, but I referred a moment ago to that meeting at Newton Abbott that I was at a couple of weeks ago when Multitude of Sins won. Well, Jump City won at that meeting the previous year, so even though he's shown a very consistent level of form towards the back end of the last campaign, he's clearly a horse who can act at the beginning of one as well. So, yeah, I definitely think he's got a good chance. You know, this horse was only beaten just over three lengths by Hunt Ball at Taunton back in April. You know, it's pretty good form, that, on the, you know, in the context of this sort of race. Yes, he's weighted accordingly. He's got to carry top weight. There's two very interesting runners for the Anthony Honeyball stable, Valeta and Dorset Naga. Out of the two of those, I'd probably favour Dorset Naga, who comes here on the back of a couple of wins at Fontwell. And that one needs respecting, since it's in just such tremendous form at the moment. Valeta has won over course and distance in the past. And Shul Royale is another very useful horse who's won around here and can be respected as well. But I do think that Jump City might just have a bit of a class edge on these. And with 11 stone 12 to carry, it won't be easy, but class outs ultimately. And I think it might just do that again here.
Okay. And on to the final race we're going to look at, the 750 at Kempton. This is a London Middle Distance Series qualifier. It's a Class 3 handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs. And you could give a chance to at least 5 or 6 of these, Gareth. It's a good race.
Yeah, it is a good race. Plenty of prize money. And Kempton have been rewarded with a really competitive looking 12-strong field. The two who interest me, Sweet Deal for Jeremy Nasida and William Buick. There's always the chance with these connections that the horses are going to get a little bit overbacked, particularly when they're quite lightly raced. They're open to any amount of improvement, and particularly when they come into a race on the back of a win, which was really eye-catching the time before. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Sweet Deal 22 days ago. And all in all, stayed on really strongly, I thought, to get the better of some fair sorts down in Goodwood, and comes here, as I said, open to any amount of improvement, should be going pretty close, isn't too badly berthed in 7 either. Next door will be Theodore Jericho for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. I'd probably have this one as the main danger, even though there are some good horses, you know, up towards the top of the weights in this, the likes of Orton and Soraya. But Theodore Jericho, if we're talking about eye catchers, I thought this was a real eye catcher last time out. Stayed on really strongly at Warwick, was touched off into third place on that occasion. Interestingly, hasn't gone up in trip. That race was over 1.3 miles, and so is this one. But might just be kept a little closer to the pace this time, and might well go close to striking. Really, really good race. The two that I've mentioned, they're probably going to be fairly prominent in the betting market. One of them, perhaps Sweet Deal, will be favourite. It's a hot race, one perhaps not to get too heavily involved in. But Sweet Deal and Theodore Jericho would be my two against the field. I think Theodore Jericho might provide a little more value.
Yeah, and like I say, eye-catching last time, unlucky inside like the final furlong or so, and stayed on very strongly. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, as far as, you know, these Kempton all-weather night meetings go, this is a really good race for them. So yeah, plenty of prize money and plenty of runners, which is good to see. Yeah, looking forward to it, actually. Good.
Good. Let's have a quick summary of your selection, then, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Okay. 3.20 at Wincanton, I will side with Multitude of Sins. In the 3.50 at Wincanton, I will side with Jump City. And in the 7.50 at Kempton, I will side with Theodore Jericho from a value perspective. Just before I go, there's a horse entered to run at Kelso on Saturday, where I'll be, a horse called Show Public. Just keep your eye on it.
Okay.
I think it's a good horse, a really good horse, this.
Okay, Show Public, then. Keep an eye out for that one at the weekend.
Might just fall under the radar with all this good racing on. So, but a winner's a winner, wherever it is and whatever price.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just think it could be a little special, this. So,
very good.
Here we go.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Okay.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. It'll be Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. Brighton on the flat, 2 jumps meetings, Uttoxeter and Wincanton in the afternoon, and evening racing from Kempton on their all-weather poly track. Good racing at Punchestown as well. We'll try and squeeze some of that in throughout the course of the afternoon. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.